Rooster sounds a little sleepy this morning. The Rosie on the House Rooster and the Dunkin' Donuts pour of coffee can only mean one thing. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. Good morning, Arizona homeowners. You're listening to the Saturday morning tradition for 26 years. Here in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be in the landscape and garden. It's your opportunity to ask any question you might have about any landscaping, irrigating, trimming, fertilizing, watering dilemma you may be facing. 1-888-767-4348. We trust it's a beautiful day out in Arizona. Romy and Jennifer and I are actually broadcasting from Pella, Iowa, and I was almost scared to fly back here after all the jokes we tell about the Midwest people living out in Arizona now. But comfortable that most of the folks that we visited and met the last few days hadn't heard our jokes about the Midwest people. I'll tell you, Pella, Iowa, what's the name of the community in the show Stepford Wives? This looks like the community at Stepford Wives. Every lawn is mowed to perfect height. Every row of tulips is up at the perfect height, blossom perfectly. There's no grass encroaching in on the flower beds. The sidewalks are swept. The houses. I don't know if I'd like to be a painter here or hate to be a painter because I haven't seen one house that needs painting. I mean, every single thing about this community is absolutely perfect. It looks like that community in Stepford Wives, but it lives like Mayberry. It's like the perfect Midwest little community. Gorgeous rolling hills. The Red Rock Lake out on the side of town is absolutely gorgeous. This has really been a joy.
We've posted a lot of pictures on Rosie's On the House fan Facebook page. Just some gorgeous pictures. And in addition to being the headquarters for Pella Windows and Doors, they have another manufacturing plant in here, Vermeer, which does a lot of industrials-type tools. You would see them most commonly in Arizona hauled behind a tree trimmer service, the clippers that they run the
chippers
branches through that shoot into the bed of the trucks. But it's home to the largest operating windmill. How about that?
How about that?
It grounds flour that they use to make their Dutch S, or their Dutch letters that are shaped in S, which is their morning breakfast.
Yes. And I'll be talking more about it later, but it's the only place you can go and find people dressed in a bacon dress.
A bacon dress.
We'll talk about that just a little bit later.
But today, right now, we're talking about landscape and gardening.
Right.
And Mr. Harper, what are we going to do before it hits 104 in Arizona today?
Yeah, but it's going to be in the 80s next week again. So we're only going to be 104 for
So do we have
day,
a day off so. Then?
No. It is time to, A, make sure those watering systems are working properly. B, it's time to get those summer plantings in. You know, as the geraniums and petunias are kind of starting to fade, and you want to get the warm weather stuff in, like vinca and lantana and canna lilies and pentas and all the great warm season plants that we have to plant. Get those in and established before it does get really hot. Make those flower bed switchovers. Make those pot and container and entryway plant switchovers now. You know, it was 65 degrees this morning, you know, so it's going to be 101 or 2 or 3 for an hour or two this afternoon. But we got a nice breeze, and it's going to cool right back down. So you got to, looks like a couple weeks reprieve probably before we get into the hot stuff, and it's going to stay hot. So this is a great time. We should be fertilizing citrus trees. We should be fertilizing pretty much every tree and shrub and vine in your yard if it's well established. And we should be transitioning those winter lawns into the summer lawns by cutting them down short, dethatching them, kind of trying to get rid of that ryegrass as fast as we can now so the summer lawns can take off. So there's a ton of things. Mulching your vegetable gardens, mulching around rose bushes and fruit trees. May might be really one of the busiest gardening months of the year, or should be for folks, because there's all this transition preparation stuff to do. And, you know, it's easy to keep a lawn mowed back there perfectly when you only have to do it for about 2 months out of the year.
But 24 hours a day, gee.
Yeah, and you can't mow on Sunday.
Yeah.
That we'll talk about that a little bit
Interesting.
Later as well. John Jay, Jennifer accused me of not having the memory I once had, but am I crazy or not? Have we not had some of the nicest springs the last 4 or 5 years? But unfortunately, I mean, they're as nice as springs. It's almost like summer's coming later than I remember. I remember a lot of very hot Marches and Aprils.
I would agree that we are going later into, we've had, 200 degree days in May? I look back at last year, we had two or three 100 degree days in May. Yeah. We've had some Memorial Day weekends that were almost chilly.
Yeah.
And yet, I think the flip side of that is, fall doesn't start until November now, instead of the middle of September. So we've kind of shifted.
Some of the hottest summers on record just in the last two or three years. So everybody take advantage of this absolutely delicious spring weather and get out there in the garden.
And the wind isn't blowing. We've had the windiest spring this year, I think, that I can ever remember.
I would second that.
No wind today, and it's time to do it.
San Diego would probably second that as well.
Oh.
1-888-767-4348. Ring now. Get in to Rosie on Nass. We have an open line for you. Operator standing by. Thank you, Miss Nancy Zimbrunnen, for filling in for Jennifer on the call screening post there at broadcast headquarters for Rosie on the House.
We'll start this morning in Desert Hills with Laura calling in to talk about a new garden she's working on putting in. Good morning, Laura.
Oh, good morning. My question is we have a west-facing wall. Of course, it's our master bedroom. So it gets incredibly hot in the summer. So we have very limited space. We have about 8 feet from the house to where we can do something. So we are thinking about putting in, we bought actually two of the steel water troughs. We're going to put a trellis behind it. We'd like to plant something that will, you know, vine up on the trellis. So my question is in those troughs, should we put drainage holes in them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. If you know, even though they're pretty deep, I still recommend it. It just makes life a lot easier. You don't have to worry about, you know, how much you've watered and keeping track of, you know, how saturated they're going to get. And you're just asking for trouble if you don't put drainage holes in them.
Most of those cattle troughs have a little drain plug in them you can unscrew out. And then you
That's
put,
true.
And John Jay, put in 12 inches of river rock and then maybe a geotech cloth and then some Mel's mix on top of that for 18 inches. And, well, you'd have about the perfect bed, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you don't need to fill that whole thing with really expensive, good Mel's mix type soil. Put some crushed gravel or small river rock or something like that in it the first 6, 8, 10, 12 inches. Then some cloth or something just so the soil doesn't work its way down into that rock quite so easily. Then, just a good potting soil like Mel's mix and you're good to go. Of course, the holes also you can use to run your irrigation system up through the bottom so you don't see the irrigation system, coming up over the top of the trough as well. So, you definitely want to, and they do have a drain plug, but I think I would probably put 3 or 4 or 5 more holes about that size in the bottom of that thing as well.
And once she has these in place, they have their trellis built, what would be a good shade option? And I know this isn't a year-round solution, but I'm actually doing our pumpkins that way this year because the area we have for a garden is being used for something else this year. Our new chicks are in there while we're building another pen. So to get pumpkins, because we've got to have our pumpkins.
You're going vertical.
We're just getting we've got an old whiskey barrel cut in half. And we filled that up, put the seeds in there, and we'll just let it sprawl out.
Certainly, you could do pumpkin, squash, gourds, cucumbers, anything. If you wanted it edible, grapes would be another great choice because grapes would be leafed out all summer and shading the wall in the summer, and they would be bare in the wintertime. If it's on a side of the house that it doesn't matter, it's not necessarily an ornamental or attractive as much as it's a functional shade thing, grapes would be a great option. So, blackberries would be an option if you want to go totally edible. You can even do things like citrus on trellises. Lemons make a great espalier. So there's some great edible options. And then, of course, there's cat claw and tangerine beauty cross vine and snail vine. There's some great fast-growing vines that would work there as well.
And those would be evergreen, so it would be shaded the whole time.
Correct.
Well, there you go. I hope that helped. The phone call from Desert Foothills opens the line for you at 1-888-767-4348. I would like y'all to know that last week, Rosie had like a major boo-boo. I was supposed to give away a Mother's Day gift, and I just went through the whole 3 hours and bing, blew right past it. But you may or may not be familiar with the Soretta Candy Factory, Chocolate Factory in Glendale, Arizona. They put together a special Mother's Day gift for us to give away on air, and we're going to do that this show. And the fact that it's late, we're calling it a Mother's Day gift. You can call it anything you want, okay? whoever receives it is going to love it. It's a beautiful little chocolate gift basket, big gift basket. So here's what we're going to do. As we are broadcasting today from Pella, Iowa, I, who consider myself a better-than-average Arizona historian, did not know that there is a strong connection to a family prominent in the Wild West histories of Arizona annals connected to Pella, Iowa. So we're going to ask our listeners to reach out to us by Facebook. Is that how we're going to do it? We're going to do it by Facebook. And we want to know, what is the family that is strongly connected to the history of Arizona as well as to the community of Pella, Iowa? We are currently located, broadcasting today from the factory floor of the Pella Window and Door Factory. Absolutely, been here a couple days, got a tour of the factory, got a tour of the community, and absolutely, I've always known why, as a buyer and an advocate and an educated installer of windows, I know from that end why I always chose Pella. Well, now from this end, seeing the culture, seeing the factory, seeing the research and development, I thought the labs were one of the best things. I love that little rocket thing that they showed us. I want one of those. So y'all stay tuned. Broadcasting from Pella, Iowa, it's Rosie on the House.